So, the, we should start out by saying a word about the syllabus. The bike topic is up for Friday. Don't be late. Professor Hall's mentioned to you his need to have them in on time so that he can spend those hours looking at them. It was a lot of fun reading your character biographies.
That's great.
I also very much appreciated the comments about what concept were you still unclear about, if you remember filling that out a week ago. And 8 to 10 of you, perhaps, out of the 14, mentioned remediation. So we are going to talk about remediation and go over that concept more thoroughly again at the end of the period. But we have to wait until the end of the period because I'm installing a game that is relevant to our discussion of remediation right now. And so we're going to flip from that topic to the topic of declaring the rights of paper players that you read for today and get you to start discussing that. But we've got a different format for our discussion.
In the spirit of the campaign season, you guys have been prepped on some of the concepts and discussions leading up to this from our last class. So what we're going to do is we're going to split the class in half, and we're going to have a debate based upon the rights of players. One group is going to be the representatives from Turbine. Lord of the Rings Online is your property. The other group is a player advocacy group that is declaring the rights of players. It's going to be a pro and con discussion. There's going to be some rules for the debate. I think I will actually have part of the class leave because I did this last semester and it got very noisy. I'm going to get you, some people in my office, some people here. And what we're going to talk about up on the board there is this is sort of the debate. The question at issue is, from the player's perspective, this is the point and counterpoint. I own my silver. I own my house. I can say what I want to anyone in the game. And I can buy gold and silver from third parties. Those are sort of the questions or debate areas at issue. And this is something that I want you to build into your discussion, this following question. This is a quote from Rafe Koster's article. There are a lot of interesting points raised above in the context of Rafe Koster's article. One of the most interesting is, why should an admin feel bound by the fact that others have made an emotional investment in their work? Why, players, should they feel that there's an emotional investment in their work? Hang tight, Amir. The structure of this is going to be three questions, three responses. You got 2 minutes as a group each to deal with that. An open debate where we're going to keep each person on the team will be able to contribute what they want, and then you're going to have a concluding remark. So you're going to have to elect someone to make your concluding remark. Amir.
Who is their work? Is it the admin's work or the player's work?
There, in the case, is the admin.
Okay.
So it's uh-huh. Like that's Rafe Koster's a quote from his article declaring the rights of players. Okay?
No, the there is referring to others.
Grammatically, but the context is, why should you be, as an admin, why should I worry that you're worried about, why should I worry that you have an emotional investment in my work as an administrator, Turbine? So, we're going to give you this option. Who feels that they would be a good advocate for Turbine Lotro? Raise your hand if you feel that you could advocate for Turbine Lotro. Okay, Turbine Lotro guys, come with me. I'm going to go over here. Turbine Lotro guys, come on. Get over here on this side of the room. Towards that door. We're going to be exiting that door.
Should we bring our laptops?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You might need to look up things in the yearbook, for example. You can skip it, or
if we don't, I might get internet besides.
Yeah.
I don't have that context. Perhaps
you don't have to have 10 laptops. One or two can be looking up.
One or two should be sufficient.
I agree.
So.
Absolutely.
The Turbine Corporation with the capitalist tyrants over here. Come on, capitalist tyrants.
All right, so we got three, four, five. Okay, we're going to need two more.
Do we need some people to lead the socialist camp?
We need at least one.
I really
Oh, here you go.
Hey, Chris.
All right, Chris is going to take it. All right, so these are the socialists here?
Yeah, socialists. So socialists move down to that end.
Capitalists over here.
The hippies, socialists move down there.
Where's the tie?
Hippies?
And something
what?
You
say happy socialist?
Yeah, because I'm giving you a high compliment. That's who I am. So I feel like that's the one of the. Matt, which side are you going to be on? Shelton.
A ringer.
I can't really get on that side.
What about I own my character? I thought that was the huge debate.
Yeah.
Well, you guys got to integrate that. If that's your key point, you got to integrate it into your discussion.
So what are we doing?
We're debating.
Hey, Matt.
What are we doing right now?
I don't know.
Can I get the party?
Yes.
Here, let me...
Well, we have to make an opening statement.
Matt.
We have to have a main argument, then,
and
obviously.
He's used his, declaration of justice.
Yeah, well,
we are partners with the company in it.
His declaration. We're not necessarily sole owners of our character, but we are partners with the company.
Capitalists are going to it, guys. Watch out.
It's easy to be evil.
No, I think it's easy to be the player. Because we can relate better.
Yeah.
Because we are the players.
I own my girl.
Is there
it's mine.
Is there another?
There's a board up there.
I'm curious if I were to sell all my gear when it was worth like 13 mil.
Yeah.
13 mil. If I sold it all and I made it till now, and I'd have like 70 mil, I could just buy the entire option.
Yeah, right.
No, like you can't. I would have everything.
Do people have like more max out gear?
So what are we going to do?
Yeah. What are we going to say? My friend had 70 mil to the casinos. He did like 1 mil bets all day.
So,
he ran the casino. He didn't like it.
Oh, okay.
This goes on the conclusion.
For some reason, it just glitches and bugs, and once it starts to load,
it just dies. Down to two of them.
You do the conclusion.
I don't really care.
Okay.
Can you do the opening, too?
Okay.
I might want to do a conclusion. We'll see. Maybe I'll volunteer. Unless Lynn wants it.
Okay.
If you want to.
I own myself.
We'll see. It's going to be a last minute thing. So
okay.
I assume you're doing it, but I might jump in.
So it would.
If I'm emotional.
We put the time in to collect that goal.
It's the time and the work.
Let's make
They didn't give it to us.
Lynn, go on Microsoft Word and let's make like a bunch of like points.
Okay. Or we can just
are we not paying them to allow us to?
Yeah, but we don't want to use the
big board. They facilitated us.
We don't want to see the big board because then they'll see it.
We can erase.
We can just bring up a second screen so they can't see it.
They're going to see our arguments anyway.
Right, but then. No, they won't see them if it's on Lynn's screen.
We'll figure it out. If
they see them, they
can play. Yeah, I hope they will see them by us telling them.
Workspace. Do it on workspace, then everyone can look at it.
Yeah, what are they?
Type it up, load it to workspace, and we all have a copy.
You work for your silver. That's yours.
Yeah.
And it's not just you're paying them for the
right. You're paying them for the right. What do you pay for exactly?
The right. We're paying for the right to use the game space.
Be a citizen.
You're owning what? The rewards of your effort being done,
right?
I'm just hitting a lot of
roadblocks. Why do they own it? It's not.
Are you taking this down?
No, I was writing down the questions. I can't read them.
The house thing's kind of weird.
Okay.
Oh, we're laughing about it.
Justin's got us. He's our
type. Final Fantasy, it's not really a big amount
of stuff.
You'll see this.
I own all the items in my mind.
You absolutely walk in that demonstration. And
you can't say, you shouldn't be able to say it every
silver.
Doesn't mean we don't want to say whatever you want.
How many people have made the money in their wallet?
They're going to make that argument that they actually developed this. They
shouldn't be able to buy
it. It's like, well, you know, it's just like Dell made this laptop, but I'm the owner of it now.
Yeah. you paid for the right to use it.
Yeah, to gain it. To gain it in that sense that, you know, I worked for it in the game.
I'm curious about guild prices. I'm gonna go look.
What about the house? Would that be basically the same argument? Right?
It'd be the same argument, yeah. Now, the speech, freedom of speech.
Yes.
It's our constitutional right.
As long as it doesn't contain defamation.
We can say whatever we want. I can harass you as much as I want verbally without threatening you.
Threatening you or, like, and you can't defame somebody.
Like racial slurs?
Well, defamation would be just outright lies in a public domain in order to harm one's reputation.
That's not what is?
Yeah.
It's very ambiguous as to what defames somebody.
Really? Wow.
But
I guess they're doing a good job.
Basically, on this whole thing, we, the players, have made the game what it is. They've given us the same.
20 mil. 700 bucks. Who's going to buy 20 mil?
Oh, this Derek shot. He's killed my dog. And
you have a viral video of it.
He's just a horrible person, and nobody should talk to him ever again. That's
it. Yeah, and if he didn't do it, you
know. Yeah, if he really didn't do it.
Yeah, of course, if he did, then you've obviously got a court So, okay, the freedom of speech, that just, you know, a lot of these rules should be made by us, the players, in conjunction with the developers, but it's the community, like, the government just didn't just make the Bill of Rights to just say, oh, we're going to outright give you this. It was enough of a kind of uprising from the people, like saying, hey, we deserve some sort of rights. This is what we believe our rights to be. Therefore, they are. And so, you know, that would be our main argument, that we make the community what it is.
Without us, the game doesn't exist.
My favorite thing is items.
It's symbiotic.
Yes.
I gotta see if I'm
without them, we can't make the game.
Through us, the game like lives.
Yes,
it's alive.
We need each other.
Yes.
I'll be with you the rest of the semester. Things will be easy. We'll have a good time.
Or maybe we're just trying to suck all the life out of Turbine. We're just leeches.
Well, see, can I buy? I can buy gold. And so are we arguing that we can?
I'm gonna see how much my account's worth. I'm gonna enter all the information to sell my account and see how much I can get.
That comes to things. If someone else, right, took their time to get the gold.
But the thing is, that was never Winter Nights 1. It was easy.
And their time to make the player, for instance.
And then you
development process.
Have a person, a
so
private
save the code
deal
for
with that person.
It's just a trade.
Yeah.
They've obviously, they've facilitated the ability to trade in game.
We forget what third parties means because I'm confused about third parties.
Third parties from other people, like if a company, like a gold farming company, was selling gold on eBay, they would be the third party. They're not connected with.
So, like, if they were just spending time getting gold and then going out and selling it.
Yeah, if Turbine doesn't sell you the gold, it's a third party.
So, it's like a service they provide.
Yes, basically. It's an outside service using the game.
You think Turbine should do it? Like the company should sell you gold? Is that what you're saying?
No, we're saying we should be allowed to buy from...
Really? You're saying you should be allowed? I think it ruins the whole...
That's our argument.
Well, we're the players, so...
You're on the player side here. Get on this side of the table.
I'm on the player side. I agree with all of them, but I don't agree with the last one. I think it's cheating. It's cheating.
Hey,
I hate when people do that.
Coach, we understand.
I'm here in person and work all day to buy
personal value.
We have to argue for it.
Though.
Regardless of your personal.
I think that's more dealing with like the rights of ownership of it than like, the cheating, because like.
Okay. Now the community could establish that it's wrong to do that, but you know,
you
on a legal grounds, is it wrong? Because obviously they've given us the ability to trade in game. What's the difference if the guy just gives you his character than selling it.
2 minutes and I'm bringing my capitalist voice back.
It's just, you're getting compensation for somebody's time work in the game. It's no different than if he gave it to you, just...
Sure if you value...
No, I'm going to have to reboot.
Yeah, obviously you value something, somebody's
then
time. It's respectful, you know, to give him what you what he's seeking, the monetary compensation.
It's better than begging.
Yeah.
It's a market.
Yeah.
Free enterprise.
Raise. Why should Adam feel bound by the fact that others have made emotional investment?
That's their argument, not ours.
Oh. Oh, is it? Because I mean, they're. No, we're kind of, it's just raising a question for both sides, I guess.
We also need an opening.
I guess our main point would be that we've made.
Isn't worth anything, but.
We've made our players. We've made the game. We've made the community. They've just given us the kind of.
The medium
main
to do
space,
it.
Yeah. To do it in. That would be our main argument.
Is somebody sitting in that chair?
No.
So, Evan, you can move down there.
Okay,
I'm just trying to fix it. Ready to face off with the capitalists?
Our conclusion.
You mean are we ready to win against the capitalists?
Dominate.
The conclusion is we make the game what it is.
Double talk, double talk.
And if we earn things, then they're ours.
Yes.
So.
Oh my god.
Yes, just because, you know, they make the game doesn't make it
I have less than 7 days to pay for my house.
Oh no.
Now I have to remember how.
You're distracting the socialists.
Indeed.
He's not distracting us. We're just done already. We're that good.
We're that good, huh?
We're we figured out how to communicate telepathically. So
it's because we're a higher level being.
Right.
So you guys ready for me to bring the capitalists in?
Sure, whatever. We'll just going to get into a raunchy debate. And just
I told them they have to maintain their dignity. We'll see how they do.
Just, what was that law where if a contract is so over the top, someone get on Wikipedia. Or does anyone know the law that if the contract is so way over the top?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. That
I looked that up really quick. Because if they just try to say, oh, well, you signed a contract that's sell over everything you do.
Yeah. Well, we talked about the contracts of what adhesion wasn't.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
I
was
still hear them. They're still caucusing. I try to urge them in this direction. That's why I'm kind of excited.
It says your account PID number is this.
So we do have the trump card that we could just stop playing the game.
Who's the spokesperson for your group? Lynn is going to take the stage for change.
We could also call sex
illegal. They end up.
Lynn, come on up to the podium. Hey, capitalist, who's the evil spokesperson from the capitalist side?
Is it Noetta?
That could be me.
Okay.
I like that.
All right, Lynn and Dan, then come up to the front of the room.
Sit down there, Evan.
Now we're going to have a civilized debate. This is McCain and Obama style.
Well, then it's not civilized. We're just throwing insults back and forth at each other without people really realizing it.
Debate's one and two. Let's put it that way.
Probably like they probably buy it off.
Don't let the AAC distract
you. What are you doing? I have a few crafts level two.
Go personal attacks. Character attacks.
I say no personal attacks. No degrading one another.
How can this be McCain versus
no cat calls from the peanut gallery. Alright, that's the number one rule. Exactly. You don't want to watch that line. All right, guys.
Yes.
You gotta move.
Well, hey, what are you doing over here?
Well, if Jim has to move, then Lee has to move.
Yeah, he's got to move. Get down there.
Lee's on our side.
Lee's on.
What?
The third one.
Wait, are we doing left and right?
No,
that's not our side.
It's pretty much way you look at it. You know.
We want to more center.
You're standing in the way of progress.
Yeah, it probably should be over there. Or
over here, whatever.
They have a white background there. Just imagine a green screen. They're going to project.
Okay, they're wanting to place themselves over here. All right, we're going to do a 2 minute or less opening statement, guys. I want everybody's, not except for Professor Clayton, stop with your laptops. Give your mates in this class your full and unbridled attention. And, okay, you guys rock, scissors, paper real quick. Okay, here we go. No, just one out of one. Okay, go.
Oh, crap.
You should have gone with it.
Three, shoot.
Okay, you're going to make your, you want to give your opening statement or you want to hear their opening statement first?
Hear their opening statement.
Yeah.
Lynn, go ahead with your opening statement.
Okay.
As our player advocate.
we are the players, and basically we make the game what it is. If we stopped playing, you wouldn't really have a game. You just have an empty like game space with no one there. It'd just be like empty landscape and whatnot. So when we earn our silver or gold or whatever, it's ours because it wouldn't exist if we didn't earn it from the game. The game gives it to us, but we have to like pull it out of the game and earn it. So therefore, it's ours. And with like a house, that's pretty much the same thing as like the gold and silver. What's the second thing?
Okay. Whatever you want to talk about, your opening statement.
I own my house. I can say what I want.
Okay. We can say whatever we want because it's a constitutional right. The people of like America made that up. So that should apply to games as well. And we should be able to buy gold from third parties because they earned it and they spent their time, so we are basically buying their efforts. So,
yeah. This is your opening statement?
Yes.
We're concluded. Congratulations. Dan, go ahead with it.
As the new media that we're exploring for gameplay, the MMORPG, is significantly different from a video game that's self-contained that you can buy and that we produce at one point and then simply give out. In order to maintain a game like those, we need to have a concept of the game. A concept of the game would be what that game would be were it a simple one-time production and then we're done. If we were to give you a board game like Clue, that would be how the game is meant to be and how it is. For this, there's never a perfect piece of software, and there's always a whole bunch of players running around messing everything up. So the game needs to be constantly maintained and pushed forward in order to be kept as pure to itself as it can be. That is the core reason why you don't own your silver, you don't own your house, and you can't say whatever, and you aren't allowed to buy third-party games. In order to maintain a game that people want to play, which is our goal, actually our goal is to make money, but don't tell them that. You can't own yourself. You can't own your house because we maintain the house. We provide the materials in order for you to build that, and we provide the server space so that it's maintained. In order for you to have earned it, you would have to have some building materials in mind to start with, and we provide those. As for the silver, you can't own what we have provided. You can't own what we have provided. We're leasing you this game, and okay, that was what I was referencing, but all right.
Jay, we were using that.
Shoot.
In any case, the core statement is that that this game needs to be maintained, and in order for us to do that, we need complete control over things in the game. You don't have a right to your silver, or you don't have a right to your house. Now, as for the...
Well, Turbine, I regret you're out of time. That's your 2-minute opening, so we're going to really continue with that. Congratulations. Now we're done. This is Tom Brokaw. Stop. All right, now, here's the other side of this. You each have three questions that you can present to the other side. Anybody in the group can answer the question or ask the question. Three questions from each side to the other side. 2 minutes or less once the question's issued. I'm going to keep track of this because we've got to keep... moving on. So, since they open it, they get to ask the first question. Players advocates, decide what your first question is. Capitalist Turbine, get ready to respond. Ready, guys. Jay, you go ahead.
What are the single questions? Because when I say that I don't own my house, or can use the money that I made, I didn't think to make these. How can you account for that? So, we got to figure out the order.
All right, we're players advocates. We're running out of time. This is a debate. You should have had three questions ready.
We're going to respond to whatever they ask. What are we going to ask?
The game currency and houses.
The question is a question that I always have you excited American.
Okay, we could do that in the game.
Who's asking the first question?
Now, let's go.
Which Justin? Justin C? Okay. All right, Turbine. The player's advocates have their first question ready. Go ahead with it.
Okay. In the real world, if I earn my money at my job, I can use that money to buy a house. I own the house, and I own the currency, which is in my wallet. The government has made this currency, and the homeowners or whoever has decided to build this house has brought the materials and built the house, but I own these. How can you account for your ownership in your world if it does not relate any to what in the real world?
We can go off another way on this, but I just want to point out that we're not the government of this world, this of Lotro. We're the gods of Lotro. We created it. We don't just govern it. We created the rules that you live in it by, the rules of physics. They don't have to apply in this world. We decide. Do you like that one? So are you saying if God came to you and said, this is my house, are you going to be like, no, I paid for it? I don't think so. No. He created it.
Reality doesn't need to be maintained. The game world does need to be maintained. We maintain it, and we have provided it to you. So we actually own it because we're only leasing it.
Look at it this way. You own your house, but you still pay people for the power in that house because that has to be maintained. The water in the house goes to you. You still have to pay for that, even though it's in your house. So we provide essentially a larger version of that, whereas we provide the data that is your house.
Hey, that's the end of that segment.
Follow up.
This is it. Sorry, you can ask. You want to ask the next question? We have the rules of our debate. 2 minutes total for each question. Your turn, Turbine, to ask the player advocates a question. The longer you deliberate, the longer it cuts into your time.
The next question.
The difference is,
All right, we have our question.
Go ahead with it.
Our company is multinational and private, and a private company. How can you apply American civil rights to our game space?
Is your company constitutional, like you don't follow the rules of the Constitution?
Not every player is an American.
We're multinational, and we're private property.
So are you running your company against the rules set up by the United States of America?
We're not running them in strict accordance.
What rules apply?
The Constitution?
We're private company. So we don't.
The rights to every human being.
Okay, let them answer the question.
The rights.
They're asking questions back.
By the player's advocate. Oh, you ask questions back to us. You guys can jump in. Time to talk.
The rights of every human being apply in this sense. There are inalienable rights. You can't just treat us like this and degrade us. You have to. We have made this game what it is. We are the community. We make the game evolve. We make the game run. Without us, there is no game. How can you?
We're not forcing you to stay.
The rules of ethics still govern the world. You're not gonna, like, if the rules of ethics didn't govern the world, it wouldn't be a world. It would just be crazy. Nobody would play.
It's an open
game. We're
not game.
Forcing you to play.
It's all philosophical.
Just like you don't have
to
play.
Let the players advocates
speak. Yeah,
they
get to speak. They go.
It's your time. So it's an open 30 seconds.
We are the ones who make the rules. We decide what is right in the world. We decide what is wrong. Without us, there is no game. You have no money. You have no market. You have no consumers, and we will just go elsewhere because we believe we can establish our own rights, therefore they are. You are just facilitating us a world in which to play in.
Okay. Your turn to ask Turbine a question.
The player is interested in the whole like players' rights thing. So it's not like if the players' rights thing.
What gives them the right to ban players at their discretion?
Don't shoot up all your time, guys.
You are the. We can filibuster you.
Okay.
Because basically, all we're doing is questions of taxation of the game and of the players are complaining about it. How can we fix that if we don't have control over our state?
Players, you have your question?
I don't know what we're trying to answer this question.
You want to forfeit your question?
It's like basically they're more here anymore than
yeah.
they're their characters, they're not themselves.
I will challenge him with a question and prove that.
We can just take a nap over here. It's cool.
Or we can ask, looks as if really players' really advocacy good. Group's having trouble formulating their questions.
It's because they're copies. I mean,
dignity
thing.
Dignity
thing.
Let's go to the country club.
We're not asking for it.
Yeah.
Okay, no more questions? 30 seconds. We'll shoot up 2 minutes in this in the deliberation process.
We've still got a third question, so we need to work on this one now.
Okay. The players' advocates have forfeited their question. Gentlemen, what's your question to the players' advocates from the turbine side of the table?
Okay. Here's the idea. If a player in-game is ruining the remediation of the other players around them, how are we, the company that owns the game, able to fix that if other players complain, if we don't have control over our software and are able to bypass those rights?
Let's view this as you're the representative of our views. We've given you power to regulate other players, but it's by what we think is right. We could vote as a community on whether or not this person should be banned. We've established rules within the community, and you are just following those rules that we have established. We've given you the power what you want to use.
Most games online have a blacklist or something where you can stop the text from spammers and other people from coming up on your stream. Therefore, you guys have given us the power to stop the stuff that's getting in our way. So then the people that are spamming, that could be their fun, so you shouldn't have to restrict their right because you've given everyone else a way to stop that from ruining their fun in the game.
You guys say the laws of the real world don't apply to the gaming world, so what's going to stop somebody from selling anything on your game space? They can do whatever they want, and it annoys so many people. And like Max said, you can just blacklist them, which is very easy.
So we don't really need you to ban them if we can just blacklist them anybody. And we don't see them anyway.
Okay. Players, question for the five gentlemen from the turbine.
We don't get to retort.
No. This will be your last question.
Please thank you.
Driving that shell crazy.
Everything they said. I'm not saying anything. Now you have the next question to go back. Going back to the previous.
That's what they always did.
That's the thing, though. They never answered the questions asked to them. They answered the questions they wanted to answer.
That's right. Do the same joke with the concept of a piece. And with every like mod, who always looked at that?
Okay,
does the player who
believes is this something or your problem?
Is it the game developer?
Something your problem?
Just providing all these services. Right, full
emotional
attachment.
The game is
like, they're not. They're obviously the viewers, but why the emotional
attachment? Guys, TikTok. Players, come on, you're losing your time. Do we have a question from the players? There was one I saw right there.
I saw.
About the dog.
Whatever. Use it.
Do it.
Evan, you gonna ask him a question?
All right.
Guys, you have to pay attention to your colleagues over here.
Yes. The aim of virtual communities is the common good of its citizenry, from which arise the rights of avatars. Foremost among these rights is the right to be treated as people, not as disembodied, meaningless, soundless puppets. And herein in this right are therefore the natural and inalienable rights of man. These rights are liberty, property, security, and resistance to oppression. What if I want you? What if I want you to treat me like a dog?
Well, I would disagree with the basic premise of that argument. You said the purpose of a virtual community is for the common good of its citizens. It's not. The purpose of this particular virtual community is to make profit for Turbine. So, the rest of that, just which follows from the idea that the common good is the goal. It's not.
The only way you're going to get business is if there is a common good, because nobody's going to want to be part of your civilization if there isn't.
There happens to be a common good, but it's not necessary. It's not our purpose.
But without the common good, you're not going
to
make
there
any
happens
money.
To be
and
a
that
common
is
good.
Your purpose.
There happens
we are
to be
making
a common
money,
good.
So either way,
it's not necessary.
You don't have a problem.
Technically, you're not making a lot of money.
You can't say because two things correlate, they cause each other. correlation does not equal causation. Therefore, because there is a common good for something, it doesn't mean that the common good is the point of.
Yeah, we want to provide a common good because it makes us money, but we don't have to.
Okay, on that note, we've got to stop. We're out of time. Now, here's the thing. You're going to get a conclusion. And I want to drive this back to you. This isn't a legal debate. This is also related to your blog topic. I want you to inform this. Pick a new, I want you to do this. You're going to have a minute. Pick a new person, a new delegate to give your conclusion, and then they'll have a two-minute time to conclude. And the conclusion I want you to wrap into this, how do all these issues actually affect the story and your enjoyment of the story from Turbine's perspective and from the player's perspective? Stay in the room. You've got 1 minute to decide. Go.
Who wants to be the new speaker on how these issues affect the story?
Who's going to be the new speaker?
Evan, do you want to be the new speaker
while he's joining us?
Sorry?
Me,
I have
two older brothers. I had to argue quickly.
Well, the purpose is that we should be the lawmakers, and they should be the enforcers, and we don't. That would be really us. Because obviously, yes, if somebody's corrupting the enjoyment of the story, then we should be the ones to say, hey, that's wrong. Do something about it. Not then just assume how hard you love it.
Mention the service that will do that.
Third one, the game is not the territory of the U.S. So, U.S. Constitution doesn't apply to the game space.
Okay, who's the representative from the Turbine Corporation? Everyone, pay kind attention to our fine colleague from the Turbine Corporation to give us his two-minute wrap-up of this topic.
Okay. So the argument that we're hearing from you is that the service that we provide for you should be, once provided, controlled by you. The issue that Turbine takes with this is we're not selling you anything in the game. It's a service that we provide and we maintain and allow you the privilege of using whenever you want for as long as you want, as long as you continue to pay us, which in our opinion is fairly generous because we do put all the money and time into maintaining the game world. In terms of the story that you enjoy, it's necessary for us to maintain control of the world so that we can keep the story running. If someone is killing characters that are necessary for the other players' enjoyment of that story, it's our prerogative, in order to maintain your enjoyment as players, to be able to step in and to be able to do what's necessary to keep that player or those players in check. So basically the point we're trying to make is that our ownership of our property is necessary for your enjoyment of the game. And a player's declaration of rights really assumes a degree of responsibility of the players to keep things running, which we haven't seen. There will always be players trying to break the system, trying to cheat it. So essentially, even if all of you here may be trustworthy, there are enough players that we can't trust that we basically prevent us from allowing you have full ownership rights in order to maintain the integrity of our data. Is there anything on this?
Well done,
Chairman.
The problem that you are asserting is that you are the creators of the story, and in no way is your story original. You are merely borrowing this from Tolkien. The second problem is that there is not just one linear story. It's not a linear module. You have created the game in open space that we can play around, we can make our own stories. You've given us the ability to make our own story. So we have the ability to make our rules and assert what is right in that world. You are saying that you are the maker and the enforcer. We're saying that we have made these rules, we are giving you the power to enforce them because this is our story. Now, what we dictate as to what we're trying to say is basically that it's our enjoyment. It's our game. You've given us the sandbox, the ability to enjoy this game. We obviously have emotional attachment to the story, and we should be able to dictate then what is unenjoyable and who is corrupting this. You shouldn't be the one saying that we believe that this player is wrong and we're going to kick them out without our approval. All we're saying is that this is a symbiotic relationship, that you have given us the ability to play the game obviously, therefore, to make our own stories and have our own lives, and we should be able to control those within the game.
Mr. Covington, is that it?
Thank you very much, guys. It was wonderful.
Do you have any index cards here?
I'll go get some real quick. I think Professor Clegg's going to give you an assignment. I'll run and get the index cards.
No, it's not going to be.
Keep assigning us purpose.
They're like, this is what you're trying to do.
Okay. Right.
We just need one.
One word. Who won? Players. Players.
Oh, I wonder how these
players or turbine.
There are seven or six.
I just want to say this is a social experiment. This is not a judgment on who won. This is a social experiment.
Yes. Should we let Pat Shelton have a vote?
No.
Stick to your guns.
Wait, what was
it? It's tilted if we do.
Players, turbine. Okay, this is a social experiment to see it.
Who's anonymous? Turbine wins.
Oh, wait, I shouldn't have been looking
They are anonymous.
Count them up.
Hey, no.
Amir was going to censor everybody.
What are you talking about? I was just making them nice and neat.
Matt Shelton is going to get those from you too, Professor.
So it's clear that the players have more passion because they have exclamation points after their...
sorry that we're more professional.
Swayed by ethos.
Well, Ralph Koster proposes that we declare the rights of avatars.
Yes, he does.
I propose we don't. So.
Yeah.
I think Ralph Koster is much more intelligent on the subject than you are.
Eight to five, turbine one.
Eight to five, turbine one.
Interesting. Too bad.
The Great Debate.
The Great Debate. Thank you very much. Okay.
I think it was harder for the players.
I didn't.
Well, the argument of the company had already been established, and they used basically just a legal argument.
Okay. We're done. We're done with this. We're done with this. The point was not to ask. The point of that of asking was just to see what you thought of the debate, not to see whether it was harder to get one side or the other. Yes, sir.
So you guys have done this before with other classes.
No, we have not.
Not? Okay.
No, we have not.
We're the pressure.
So, let's shift gears here to a concept that you all found hard. It's going to be a big gear shift since we've been having a rollicking debate, and now we have to think about ideas of this sort. Let's talk about remediation. As I said, 7, 8 of you all said that was the concept that was most unclear. And several people said, yes, they understood it, hypermediacy, that is, a kind of a media environment that draws attention to itself, like this television screen for CNN with tickers and windows, and or your average web page, are all very quite hypermediated. Or to pick a example from Bolter and Grusin from the old days, they showed you that medieval manuscript with a little bit of the story in the middle and then tons of pictures and annotations all around the side. And they said, you know, all the way back in the medieval period, there was hypermediacy. There were examples of texts that really drew attention to their status as works of art and texts. So that was hypermediacy. And we talked about immediacy, or I like to call it transparency, where the medium tries to disappear, just vanish, and you see through it to the reality behind it. You know, and realism in the novel is the best example I know of, or film is, lots of realistic film is a good example. But the question is, what's remediation. So who can help us out? Who can just start the discussion of what remediation is? Yeah.
I can attend.
That's great, yes.
Remediation.
Speak up a little bit.
Remediation would be making your reality the reality of whatever medium you're using. So if it's a novel, being remediated into the novel would be what is the plot or whatever is going on in the novel is reality for that time period. Or if it's the game, it's you are your character. The world around you sitting in your chair doesn't exist necessarily, but whatever you're running through in the game environment, etc., I think.
Is that how everyone's understood it?
Isn't that just immediacy? Like when you think you're in the medium?
Is it?
That's what I think immediacy is. And then hypermediacy is when you're reminded that you're not in the medium. So I don't really know what remediation is. I actually put remediation into the understand because I see it as being kind of like the immediacy and hypermediacy being the branches of remediation. But I don't know how that can combine into one thing because they're two different things. It's kind of like the opposite of each other.
Other comments on those two points?
Out.
Yeah, you want me just to say
yes? Is remediation like that element of immediacy?
We'll get to a definition of remediation. I just want to see, continue getting a sense of where you are, and maybe somebody actually understands it very fully and can explain it better than I could.
It's a
hard concept. I want help here.
I read Colin's paper on immediacy.
You read whose?
I think Colin knows what remediation is.
I put it as a question. I know, I understand what it is, but I don't really understand why it's important.
Okay, well, go with what it is.
All right, well, as far as I can tell, it's the combination of the two, where sometimes a medium needs to be immediate so the player can really interface with it in the most natural way possible, and sometimes you need a little extra from that medium, be it extra information or extra abilities. And that's where hypermediacy is more useful. So I think that the two sort of come and go. They don't really work at the same time, but it seems to me that remediation is a combination of the two to be how a player interacts with a medium. I just don't really understand why it matters.
Sounds good to me.
I kind of understood these two different concepts of kind of getting information. One of them is immediacy, which is kind of like storytelling. The other one is hypermediacy, which is kind of like an interface or information drawing interface. And they're kind of different avenues, but they get to the same point, which is the information transfer.
So we're getting really good definitions of immediacy and hypermediacy. I really do believe that we were getting those concepts down. And I do think, Amir, you were really defining what I would call immediacy or transparency. Your comment about two different ways of getting information is a big part of that. Hypermediacy is a way of delivering information from six channels at once. But, you know, if you're getting information from all these streams, you can't cease being aware of them. And that's what the hyper part of it means, is that you're just really conscious of the medium. And immediacy is you're unconscious of the medium. You know, when you say lost in a good book, you know, you don't even know you're reading, you certainly don't see the words on the page, your eyes are just moving like crazy, that's immediacy.
To the point of remediation, like, wouldn't it just then be the how information changes over the different mediums? Like,
that's getting a lot closer.
Movies, books, and games.
That is getting a lot closer. Okay, so one of the things that Justin is saying is, I guess it's one of the things confusing about the book, is remediation is a kind of separate concept from hypermediacy and immediacy. It's not the synthesis of them. It's not the culmination of them. It's just a different topic. So that hypermediacy and immediacy are two ways to deliver information, to use your phrase. Remediation is a different concept entirely. What they're driving at with remediation is something that they say that's been going on down through history, which is to take, let's just say a story or information, to take a story that from one medium and put it in a new medium, is to remediate it. So, you know, down through history, it's exactly what, as Justin points out, we're studying in this class. We're studying what happens when you remediate Tolkien's story. Tolkien wrote it in one medium, that is text. The movie showed it in another medium, film. Lord of the Rings Online plays it in a third medium. And it's the transformation. And so what the whole concept, what makes the remediation interesting as a concept to theorists is that lots of changes occur in that transfer so that no medium is neutral. That's a key point of this entire class. No medium is the ideal way to tell a story. No medium is better than another medium, really. If you wanted to rank them, you can rank them on the basis of preference, or in certain, if you pick one quality and said that's the important one, then you certainly could rank media. But if you get high on the vivid scale, you might get low on the time to reflect and analyze scale, or some other way of judging it. So that's what remediation is all about. And one of the examples that he uses, or they use, is this example of this church here. You remember this from the book? Draw your attention up here. This is a painting, 1631, by a, what period is 1631?
Oh, come on, art historians.
I know there's art historians.
17th century.
Thank you. Pardon me?
17th century.
It is indeed, Chris, and I get high points for speaking up. I love it. That's it.
High Renaissance.
What? It is. It's late Renaissance. Yes, indeed. You did. Did you whisper it?
I said like Renaissance.
No, and why didn't you then shout out what he said, and you would have gotten credit for it.
That's what I do.
Baroque's a little later, and Baroque is a lot uglier.
So, yeah, ranking preference.
So this is late Renaissance. And what this is an example of the finest, the state-of-the-art painting medium in terms of immediacy in the Renaissance. And the Renaissance, what is one of the things that makes Renaissance art really distinctive from all earlier eras is that they invented a new technology of immediacy. Do you know what that technology of immediacy is?
Linear perspective.
Exactly. And that's, of course, that's right. Say it again.
Linear perspective.
They invented linear perspective. The mathematical notion that if you have lines converging like that, the eyes will add a third dimension to a two-dimensional surface. You know, that's a kind of math. That's a technology. They could graph it out on a piece of paper. In fact, one of the ways to cheat was to use a kind of graph paper and then paint on it to get your perspectives right. It's a geometrical, mathematical advance. And it was linear perspective gave the Renaissance paintings this amazing sense of depth. Whereas think about, both in the Constantinople, the East, and in the West, what would a picture of Christ look like prior to the Renaissance?
Flat.
Flat, yes. How more? Say more. What colors would you find in it?
White.
What? Lots of, remember those gold-leafed paintings? And, you know, he'd be, a blessing would look like that, you know, sort of like that. And it would be all by modern standards, stiff and formal. I should be pulling up a non-linear perspective painting to illustrate that rather than trying to act it out. Here is a great example, or is their example, of linear perspective. Do you want to take back the screen for a second and show some of these other paintings? This is a cathedral. While he's doing that, this is another by the same guy. You see, I mean, I'm sure one of the reasons they selected this Renaissance painter, pretty late Renaissance painter, is that you can really see what he was going for. These are just like display examples of how the eye travels along. There's another. Is it the same guy?
Same guy.
Same guy, same cathedral?
Same cathedral, different guy.
Same cathedral, different guy. So you see how it gets narrower as the two lines converge like that to create linear perspective and give you the illusion of depth. So that was the way Renaissance art remediated in terms of immediacy. Show us a photograph of it. You have a photograph of the exact church.
I killed that.
Oh, you killed the photograph. Well,
I do have our. You're going to go with our screenshot, or are you going to walk through it?
Let's do one more thing here. Look at this. Here is a photorealistic computer graphic of Chartres Cathedral. So that's another. So. We wanted to talk about how a computer game remediates graphic arts.
Do you want the static as well first, or do you want to just jump right in?
We can have. So there is a cathedral in a game called Dark Ages of Camelot. Who's played it, Dark Ages? I think somebody has. It was one of the, not the earliest MMOs, Ultima Online, early EverQuest were earlier, but DAOC was, if you looked at that chart, chronology, it's one of the earlier ones, and it's still existing. And Professor Hall and I spent too many hours on it over the years, and I just reactivated my account this morning and paid hard money to be able to take you inside that cathedral. But you see, this screenshot is still a two-dimensional linear perspective. So to remediate it, you enter the world of virtual reality where you get a new medium that allows you to get a three-dimensional relationship to it. So it's an interesting trick. It is still a trick because you're in a two-dimensional screen. But it's a new way to trick the eye, isn't it? And so I'll take control back of the screen and somebody said hello to me. Hooray, it's been months since I've been here. So here I am outside the cathedral in the city of Camelot. I'm in the realm of Albion, and there's my cathedral, and here's, I should give you a close-up of this utterly uber, and incredibly handsome healer named Cheerable,
Cheerable's been remediated through three MMOs.
When did he grow up?
Pardon me?
When did he grow up?
Very interesting question. He was a tadpole on the planet Tatooine, which has very little water for tadpoles in the game Star Wars Galaxies. And he grew up to be a full-grown frog, Mon Calamari. So here is Cheerable. Inside of that cathedral. And the one trick that makes this two-dimensional surface look more three-dimensional. Every single bit of this is linear perspective being rendered on the fly by a graphics engine which changes the focal point of your eye each time I move to it. You know, just think of the math being generated. There goes a little mouse. The math being generated on the fly to make this trick possible, that the three-dimensional point, I mean, the linear perspective point, the, what do they call that? The vanishing point, which is the hole at the end of the three of the linear perspective, is being recalculated instantly as I go like this. So this is the state-of-the-art virtual technology. It's not state-of-the-art graphics, but it is the state-of-the-art. You know, I don't think anybody's made any significant improvement on that. So the ability to run around in the space and look at it like that, you know, in all these different dimensions, that's a whole new technology of immediacy. Not really hypermediacy. It becomes more hypermediated as you click these babies out and get your, you know, all my quick bars, you know, should be out here. Good Lord, 7 quick, 8, 9, 10, I think they've expanded the number of quick bars you have. Would turn this, I mean, this is still fairly hypermediated if you think about it. You know, you've got information channels like crazy, here's my inventory, you know, and you recognize from World of Warcraft or several of the games, this pretty old-timey method of, of slotting things. So, you know, it's got all these hypermedia elements. Here's my directional thing. Look at these information channels. One there, combat here. If I was in fight, I'd be getting data streaming at me there. People talking talking to each other there, and these would be my combat bars if they were out, if I had anything in them. It's a lot of information streams while rendering this. So, do you think have we made the concept of remediation clear?
Yes.
You can't do this with let's go back to the Renaissance. You can't do what I just did to this painting. Well, that's not, they're saying that's a hypermediated screen. That's what you got. And you notice to give you new angles. What's his name? Sanridum? Not a really famous one. I don't know why they chose that one. Sanridum. Had to paint more versions of it. How many did you show us? Two or three versions of it? Just from little angles, little studies of the, you know, the wings and everything. So, This is an example of remediation in action, Okay, so that it's the movement from a technology of realism to a technology of virtual reality. I mean, those are the names we've given it. You know, is this more real
than what?
Than a painting? What do you think, Kyle?
I don't think any of them have that much of a tangible reality. They're both just pictures. One of them just moves more.
Lee, what is your position on this?
I agree.
Kyle? Yeah.
They're both kind of not real. Innocent. Yeah, we have an access to view the picture from different angles. It's the same picture, which is
one of them talk.
It's a little bit more than different angles. It's a little bit more than viewing it from different... That is, I'm viewing this picture from this angle. Matt's viewing it from that angle. That's moving the viewer, whereas this moves the view. You know, that view is not the same as that view. So it moves the view. I wonder what that
just
means.
Like reality works.
Well, you get X, you get Y, you get Z, and then you get that denominated over time. So you can move your perspective. You can move the angles through which you enjoy the interior in this game. You can do this here, but think about what you can sweep in 1 second versus how many studies that Pietro would have to do on a canvas, or even with photos.
But the thing that your comment just made crystal clear is, and I think it is what Chris was saying too, is that no matter how you swing your camera, at each moment, it's a two-dimensional linear perspective view.
Absolutely.
You know, so it is remediated and it is different, but it's also it remains a medium. Now, Colin threw something else into the equation. He said,
"I said only one of them talks to you."
Sound. That's another way you remediated, mate. Do books talk? They do in Isaac Asimov. They do in Neal Stephenson's The Diamond Age, but they don't write currently.
And the Encyclopedia Britannica, Galactica certainly does.
Yes. but the point is, that's a kind of remediation. It's taking the media, you know, just say, this is the King Arthur story, or the Lord of the Rings story. To add sound to it is just another way of remediating it.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay. So the addition of sound, movement, whether it's movement of the picture in moving pictures, or whether it's your movement through it, are just different technologies of remediation. But they do change the experience dramatically. That's why it's both always, in some senses, the same story, but it's a dramatically different experience of the story. Nobody would say it's exactly the same to watch The Lord of the Rings and to read The Lord of the Rings. Now, is it more real or not more real? I think it just all depends on how you define real. It's always a medium. So it's always an illusion of reality, which is maybe what... No, you said it was more real, but whoever said it wasn't more real.
Maybe more realistic.
It's not realistic, but it is more realistic. Yeah,
but that's another key point, and thank you for saying it that way, both of you all. It's a key point that realism is just a word for the illusion, for a set of tricks for producing an illusion of reality. And realism is just our word for what it currently fools us best. That's me after class.
No, I was just going to say, different people are going to have different, I guess, levels of enjoyment.
Yeah.
I guess my parents wouldn't.